nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
George Hegel said, "We may affirm absolutely that nothing great in the world has ever been accomplished without passion." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who have passion. Our first playmaker is into gorillas, among other wildlife, while our second playmaker has worked with banking from Lubbock to Houston. With us today is the CEO of a company that manages 2,000 animals, while our next playmaker is the CEO of a $2 billion bank and growing. These great playmakers are Greg Hudson. Greg is CEO of the Dallas Zoo. And Jeff Greenway. Jeff is CEO of Green Bank. Let's begin today's show with Jeff. Jeff Greenway is president and CEO of Green Bank, a bank focusing on metro Texas businesses and individual private banking needs. After receiving a BBA at Texas A&M and an MBA at Baylor, Jeff cut his teeth in Lubbock. Rising to market president, he managed commercial and consumer banking. Next, he joined Wells Fargo and served as regional manager for business banking in Houston. Having his fill of bureaucratic banks, Jeff joined Green Bank in 2008, which focuses on commercial and private banking services at full-service offices in Houston, Dallas, and Austin. Under his guidance, the bank has grown to nearly $2 billion from $400 million, working from the belief that community banks are the lifelines for small and medium-sized businesses. Green Bank entered the Dallas market in 2010 and has grown to four locations and a commercial lending office. Jeff, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Good. Thanks, Steve.
Now, you received, as I mentioned, your BBA at Texas A&M, and so you're an Aggie,
yes.
And your MBA at Baylor. Was banking always the goal?
No, I started off as a marketing major, and I fell into banking really two reasons. Number one, I got a summer job in downtown Dallas at a bank doing some fill-in, and I liked it. But more importantly, I hate to tell this story on the air, I was dating a girl in college whose dad was a bank president, and they looked like they had a pretty nice life. And I thought, maybe marketing to finance should be a better change. So that's kind of how my career path went.
I have a story similar to that, but I won't go into that in this conversation. And sometimes it's the things that happen to us in life that kind of lead us in the right direction.
Right.
So apparently it was the right move for you. Well, the big thing that's happening in Dallas with Green Bank is that you have just purchased SharePlus. That hasn't actually completed yet, but talk a little bit about how that's going to affect Dallas and Green Bank as a whole.
Sure. So yes, the deal projected to close October-ish. That can always bleed over a few weeks, but we're all working towards an October close. SharePlus is a Plano-based bank. They're on Plano Parkway, about a little over $300 million in assets, and it really helps us fill in Dallas. We have about $500 million in assets today in Dallas with the four locations you mentioned earlier. This gives us three additional locations, two in Plano, one down in the Uptown area. And more importantly, it just gives us a great team, a great customer base, and continue the organic growth that we've had for really last 6 or 7 years. When I joined the bank in 2008, we were just a little over $200 million in assets. And if you think about, 2008, what a horrible time to, be
right.
Switching jobs.
It's just 6 years, too.
Yeah, 6 years. And, in banking, things really went crazy in 2008. We use that as an opportunity. I'm a believer in chaos. There's an opportunity, and Warren Buffett has said when people are greedy, be careful. When they're careful, be greedy. And so that's what we did. We just went forged ahead and grew the bank to the $2 billion that we're at now.
I was doing the math when I was looking at Green Bank and SharePlus. It looks like adding SharePlus is going to put you over $2 billion in assets and get you well over $1.5 billion in deposits. So this is a good move. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, does SharePlus have a location in Louisville, Kentucky?
They do. They've got a small location in the corporate headquarters of KFC. And I just happened to be there about a week and a half ago. I was going to the PGA Championship with a friend. It was kind of bucket list type deal. So we went by and visited. And I think I'll go there more often because they gave me a bottle of Maker's Mark. So They must know how to get to my heart. So,
especially the good bourbons in Kentucky. Right. Tell us a little bit about the history of Green Bank, because you're a relatively new bank, though you have acquired banks. The closest Green Bank to me, which is how I found out about you, is right. the old Opportunity Bank in Richardson, Texas. But talk about how Green Bank started, a little bit of the history.
Sure. So Green Bank came to be from first buying a small Houston bank at the end of 2006, named Redstone Bank. Redstone, if that name sounds a little familiar to you, where they played the Shell Houston Open, is used to be known as Redstone Golf Course. So this was basically a family office business that owned the bank and owned golf courses and a few other things. So the bank was acquired and put into a new holding company called Green Bank Corp, and that's when the name changed in 2007. I joined in spring of 2008, and I'd spent 24 years at the two big-to-fail banks, being Wells Fargo and what's now Bank of America, and just was tired of the bureaucracy and wanted to do something different. So we took this small platform, hired a bunch of people from, larger regionals and nationals, and said, we'll take away some of that bureaucracy that you've had to do and give you a little more simple, timely life to live by. And that's how you grow a business in a bank, is you get good people, you don't have too many rules in front of them, and let them go. And, they do a great job if as long as they understand kind of the parameters of what you want to do. And, we want to bank businesses in Texas, and we want to, bank the mass affluent, people who need a banker, and but they're not filthy, stinking rich, so they don't go downtown. They want to go to a banker like Garth Edwards, here with me today, is a great example. He leads a great team that goes out and banks those small businesses and those private banking customers every day.
Well, Bank of America's are looking for that location on every corner.
Right.
They're looking for the masses, and that's who they appeal to, not only Bank of America, a number of other competitors that they have too. You're more of a niche bank.
Sure, sure. And the way I describe it to our prospects and customers is, if you want to bank with Bank of America, that's like banking with Walmart. If you want to bank with Nordstrom's, that's us. Fewer locations, more about the client experience. And we're not trying to be a Walmart. We just like being a boutique bank and, serving DFW and Houston and Austin. What better places, not only in the United States, but the world to be in? So we love Texas and we love those three markets, and we want to just keep getting bigger in those markets.
Well, again, you're a niche business. You're focusing on those businesses that need and want that experience that you talked about. Mm-hmm. But I also understand that you were number one in Houston in SBA loans, more than the larger firms like BBVA, Compass.
Right.
Talk about why you are focusing on companies that are looking for SBA loans.
Sure. Well, it was just a natural fit for us. We have done so much business lending over the last 6 years that, we found this team at a bank there in Houston and hired them back in 2012, and it really took us to that next level. Not only the lending they were doing, but they helped our other bankers. We've got some 50 other bankers that, loan to businesses also, and that allowed them to be that expert and hold their hand and get them to understand SBA lending. And so that's been a great opportunity for us, and we're continue to look for those niches like that to continue helping businesses no matter where they are in the the maturity curve. If you're trying to catch them early or trying to catch them 10-15 years old, you can do something for them, and that's the most important thing.
I'm guessing by adding SurePlus, the chance of that happening in Dallas is probably pretty great too.
Oh, yeah, we're picking up a great team of business bankers there. Being in Plano is a great area for both the individual and the business side. They've got a great mortgage platform that we can help our customers with. So, we're going to be more active, acquiring banks in DFW, Houston, and Austin. About a week and a half ago, we went public, and that'll allow us to continue to grow the bank. And and we keep getting asked, "Well, you want to go outside of Texas? Why would we? I mean, what better place in the world to be than Texas at this juncture in the business commerce.
Well, best example is Toyota moving their corporate headquarters to Plano, and all the other companies now in their wake, they're coming not only to Dallas but to Houston, Austin, and San Antonio too.
Yes.
I mean, it's growing tremendously. Well, I think you had mentioned your target to be a $3 to $5 billion bank in the next few years. Will that come from purchases? Will it come from organic, a combination of both?
Yeah, I think it'll be both. You know, we make acquisitions to help us grow organically, you know, and that's the beauty of the SharePlus deal is we're going to be able to add some things to their team to allow them to keep growing organically. With this mortgage platform we pick up, we can add some mortgage lenders, not only that they have in Dallas, but in Houston and Austin, and continue to grow organically. You know, we're big on organic, and we think acquisitions are more for strategic purposes than anything else. But, yeah, I think you should look up in about 3 years, and we hope to be about $5 billion. And I'd say, you know, half of that's organic and half's through acquisition.
Well, you're obviously going to be picking up not only additional banks but additional customers too. What are some of the industries you're looking at that are hot right now that you want to build and bring into your bank?
Sure. I think with, you know, the operating businesses that we have, they're, you know, a number of them are energy related, manufacturing, service, you know, even on the retail, we do hospitality. And I think that's the beauty of some of the things we do, not only direct lending, but the SBA. We also have a factoring division. So we can really help, you know, most businesses no matter where they're at in their maturity curve. And we like to bank a little bit of every industry, truthfully. You know, we think that allows you to have, you know, variety in your lending platform and do better in the downturns and the upturns by doing that.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, by adding SharePlus, is that going to bring about the same number of banks in Dallas-Fort Worth as in Houston, about six or seven?
Yeah, I think we'll end up with a equal balance there. We have seven in Houston today. We'll end up with three more that we pick up, you know, SharePlus in Dallas, so that'll take us to seven. You know, and I think that's a good thing. You know, we don't want to have 27 in each market. We like having 7 to 10. Technology and banking's really is what's made a big difference over the last 10 or 15 years also. You know, with debit cards, you know, you can take your phone and take a picture of a check and deposit it, do online banking from your iPad. I mean, you know, that's a big deal. And that's why you don't need as much brick and mortars. What we need more of is, you know, business development people out there, you know, working the markets. You know, the old-fashioned take people to lunch, go see them at their office, go see them at their home, you know, wherever it is, and sit down and really talk about what they need from a bank.
Well, it used to be location, location, location. Now location has to do with their, as you say, their smartphone or their tablet or their computer. Tell folks how they can get a hold of you and or Green Bank.
Sure. So, you know, go to greenbank.com. You know, we have a list of our officers on there, so you can, you know, find a way to contact them through their phone or email. You know, you want to reach out to me, you know, be happy to have you call me at my office, 713-275-8203 or ggreenwade@greenbank.com.
And you can also get all the information off the website at PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Jeff, thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
Jeff Greenwade, CEO of Greenbank. Again, the bank website is real easy, greenbank.com. Don't go away. We have another great guest coming up. We're going to talk about animals. We're going to talk with the CEO of the Dallas Zoo and the Dallas Aquarium, Greg Hudson. So don't go away. Back right after this.
Join the fight against childhood cancer by joining the 29th annual Oktoberfest Run for Children on Saturday, September 20th. This family-friendly event is part of Addison's annual Oktoberfest celebration, with all proceeds benefiting Wipeout Kids Cancer, a Dallas-based nonprofit dedicated to raising awareness and funding for childhood cancer research and to providing hope and support to children with cancer. There's a one-mile fun run and a 5K course, cash prizes, free food, German beer, awards, and entertainment. Also, receive one free admission to Oktoberfest on race day. Register at OktoberFest5K.com.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. In for another good segment, we're going to talk about a little bit about animals. We have Greg Hudson. Greg is the president and chief executive officer of the Dallas Zoo. He also has oversight of Dallas Zoo Management Incorporated and the Dallas Zoological Society. He's been involved with the Dallas Zoo since August of 2006, when he was named executive director of the zoo and the Children's Aquarium at Fair Park. In 2009, when the zoo took over the day-to-day management of both the zoo and the aquarium from the city of Dallas, Greg became president and chief executive officer of Dallas Zoo Management Incorporated. He oversees a $24 million budget and management of more than 2,000 animals, and that doesn't include all the fish and invertebrates, and more than 300 employees. And I'm willing to bet that the animals probably are easier to manage than the employees. In the past, the past year, the Dallas Zoo has been named to three best U.S. zoos lists, including USA Today. The zoo has seen four consecutive years of record attendance and is on pace for a fifth. Greg, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve.
How does a local boy from L.D. Bell High School and UTA end up as CEO of the Dallas Zoo via Cincinnati?
Yeah, it's not one of those things you can kind of plot on a career path, that's for sure. When I was 16, started working out at Six Flags Over Texas, and that was a way I worked my way through school there at UTA, and it was a great way to learn about tourism and hospitality industry. When I got out of school, went to work for Sheraton in the hospitality industry. I was recruited to go work with Fort Worth Zoo over in Fort Worth when they privatized back in the early 90s. And now, 24, 25 years later, I'm still in the zoo business. And so it's been a great career and just very rewarding. And it's an incredible segment of the hospitality industry a lot of people don't really think about.
You mentioned that when you think about hospitality, you think of hotels, you think of restaurants, and possibly even amusement parks like Six Flags. You don't think of the zoo, but that's really what you are. Yeah. It's a way to bring people. And we were talking before the show started, and we're recording ahead of time. You have your Dollar Day today, which is earlier in the week from when the show is actually on the air. And you were talking about how many more people are there today than are normally. Talk a little bit about
that. Yeah, that's, you know, Dollar Day is a great way for us to get into markets that can't normally come out and afford to come to the zoo. And we have a couple of those a year. And so the one during the summer generally pulls about 25, 30,000 people on a day when we would have a couple of thousand people. But it is one of the things that the zoo is just open to all people, and it's one of those things that transcends, market and class and all those different things. It's kind of the town square of the city.
It's interesting to go there because it's not the same thing every time you go. There's always something different.
Yeah, and that's and that goes back to a little bit of my theme park training too, in that we always have to have something new to offer as well. And so in the last 8 years, we've opened up about 10 new exhibits and really put a new face on the zoo, and it's really paid off in a lot of ways, from the turnstiles, but also the national credibility of people coming in and saying that we've got one of the best zoos in the country, and we're just really pleased with the support we're getting from the community now.
I moved here a long time ago, and Dallas Zoo did not have the notoriety it has now. Did that start prior to you coming, or did that turn around after you got there?
You know, there's been a lot of people who worked a long time there, both in terms of the philanthropic side and on the board and some of the staff. But when I came in 06, I was recruited from Cincinnati to come back here to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I was managing that zoo, and the idea was to really put this zoo on the map, and really I felt like when I came here, my main job was to get all those pieces moving together: the city, the support from the society, the philanthropic, and the general community. And so we had a lot of things to overcome, but we've done a major turnaround in the last couple years, and our attendance now has almost doubled since that time in 06.
Well, a lot of it has to do with the animals you bring to the zoo, as those are the public wants to see. But you also worked on the design and construction of the 11-acre Giants of the Savannah, which opened up about 4 years ago. Talk a little bit about that and what impact that had on
the zoo. That was a watershed kind of moment for the zoo. That was in the time when the economy wasn't doing really well. And the city had some bond money we could put towards it. We got some great philanthropic support. We had one of the worst elephant exhibits in the country. I've gone on record to say that before. And what we did was take that and turn that around into what we think is one of the best elephant exhibits in the country, along with giraffes and gazelle and impala and zebra and lions and cheetah. It's just a terrific 11-acre experience, closest you can get to Africa and still be in Dallas.
I was at the zoo, I believe it was 2 years ago, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you can almost walk up to the giraffes.
You can actually feed them. Yeah. That's one of the, one of the things that we really have tried to do is zoos are evolving all the time. And one of the things that we're trying to do is make it a very proactive experience, not the passive kind of exhibits that you see in the old days. So what we do is try and make these connection points where you can actually go in and feed giraffe and things like that. We also have keepers there that are very interactive. Also, the animals themselves. We have a lot of mixed species exhibits. We're only zoo in the United States that have giraffe and elephant in the same exhibit. And that's good for animal welfare. That's good for the husbandry side of it. And so, we focus on two things. The exhibits themselves have got to be a great experience for the visitors, and they also have to be incredible welfare for the animals. And so if you do those two things, I think people see that, and it turns out to be a great experience.
I can see how both of those are two parts of the scale that you want to make as even as possible. Just thinking from the animal point of view, you want to give them their natural habitat experience.
Yeah.
Without taking that away.
As close as you can, and it's hard to do in a urban setting, but we were very fortunate. We had 11 acres of land to be able to expand to. It was part of a master plan from years gone by, but we were able to put together a plan that people got really excited about. And I think we put a different kind of, as I said, kind of a proactive twist to it that engages the visitors in ways that they hadn't seen before. So that's really set a new standard for us, and the public has just reacted terrifically to it.
Well, you also have fish.
Yeah, we do.
At Fair Park, talk a little about what you've done with the Children's Aquarium.
Yeah, it's a historic building that was part of the original fair buildings out at State Fair. It's historic. The aquarium has been there since the original 36 buildings, but we put a new spin on it. We actually came back and reinvented it and gave it a children's aquarium theme for small children, kind of the greatest hits of an aquarium, that first aquarium experience. We spent about $8 million on that back in 2009 when we opened up the Savannah. We were also opening up the children's aquarium, and it's been great. Kids can go out and touch and feed stingrays and sharks, and they see an octopus, and they see jellyfish, and they see a lot of the things that are kind of the greatest hits of an aquarium, and a great experience for very small kids to be able to go out and maybe that first aquarium experience.
Now, I can see touching and feeding the giraffes, but touching the sharks?
Yeah, we have some small little bonnethead sharks you can put in there that we do, and most of them want to do the stingrays because you can actually feed the stingrays, and that's a really great experience to be able to have them take that fish from your hand. It's quite a moment.
Well, you're talking about the experience, and you're competing with Six Flags. You're competing with everything else where visitors and tourists can go in the DFW area.
Yeah.
But you've been named to the three national lists of best zoos in the U.S. We mentioned USA Today at the top of the show. What does that mean for the Dallas Zoo, and what does that mean to the reputation for the Dallas Zoo?
I think, as you mentioned, this zoo has had a reputation over the years as somebody who wasn't always taking full advantage of being in this great market. And I think what we're now seeing is that the public is responding in a big way and supporting us in a big way. And the things like the USA Today thing, that just validates that for us. And so, we're very fortunate to be in a terrific market here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that is growing all the time. We pull from all over the market, and we cross over with lots of different places. We cooperate and do all sorts of cooperative ticket programs and different things like that. But, you know, the good thing is that's a validation of a lot of hard work that we've put into it. And hopefully we're going to continue to just build on that.
In addition to that, you received the Certificate of Excellence from TripAdvisor for the past 2 years. So it looks like the Dallas Zoo is becoming a destination when people come to Dallas.
Yeah, and you know, we don't take that lightly. The whole social media side of things is an amazing my degree at UTA was in marketing. And so it's been interesting for me to follow is in this market, too, at Microcosm now over the last 25 years of how do you get your word out? And, you know, in the old days, it was billboards and TV and some of the tradition, you know, put the ad in the newspaper on in the weekend guide. And that kind of doesn't work anymore like it used to. And so the whole social media side of things on Twitter and our Facebook and we're very, very proactive in that. And TripAdvisor is one of those things that we take very seriously. We watch those. We comment. We go back in, engage those people that are putting in comments because it is the way that we're communicating with our with the masses now. And for us, that is equally as important as a billboard on 183.
You've had 4 years of record attendance.
Yeah.
And this year should be a fifth.
Yeah, we're right on target with that. And, you know, this dollar day that we're having this week, I think, is going to help us towards that. Our year end will actually end at the end of September. That's when our fiscal year ends. And so we're right on target to do that again. So we'll be about just under 950,000 visitors at the zoo. We'll have over 150,000 visitors at the aquarium. So together, that's about 1.1 million visitors that come through our doors. And you know, it's a great responsibility for us to take these great assets for the city of Dallas and manage them for them. We've got a terrific partner with the city of Dallas. They help us out quite a bit. Both in terms of what they do for us in a subsidy, but also in just support in general. They're a terrific partner. And so, but these are important assets for the city and really help define the kind of quality of life in the city of Dallas.
Well, you had a milestone last year for the Dallas Zoo. When did the Dallas Zoo open?
Well, we're just had our 125th anniversary. So, yeah, it's amazing that we've had that kind of history here for so long. You know, the original location was in Old City Park, moved out to Fair Park, and then in 1910 moved out to Marcellus Park where it is now. So we're the longest continuous site in the state of Texas. But, you know, zoos have been around a long, long time, but they're continuing to evolve. And the things that we're doing with the, like the Giants of Savannah and some of the new exhibits that were on the boards for us, we think that's taking zoos to the next evolution of what it's going to be to define what they are as an institution.
Well, you have so much new things going on at both the aquarium and the zoo. Tell the folks how they can find out more about it.
Yeah, the easiest way is DallasZoo.com. We've got everything there. It's kind of a one-stop shop. Everything about if you want planning your visit there, if you want to be a member, if you want to volunteer. We have several thousand volunteers that help us on a day in and day out basis out there and help us on things like Dollar Day.
So folks can volunteer.
Volunteering at the zoo is a huge thing. We couldn't do what we do without our volunteers. We as a nonprofit, we make every dollar stretch as far as we can. And those volunteers are an important part of the equation of filling the gaps that we can't do with full-time staff.
Greg, this has been a great show. Thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show.
Hey, thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate it.
And again, if you want to find out more, it's go to DallasZoo.com. And it's been Greg Hudson. Greg is the CEO of the Dallas Zoo and the Children's Aquarium. Thank you very much for listening to Playmakers Talk Show. You can join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. And we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.